Thank you for your word. I want to thank you for this psalm. And Lord, I pray that you would give us a hunger for your word and a thirst for righteousness. I ask that you would do in us all that you would want to do, all that you intend to accomplish. Would you do it? And Lord, I pray for your help in opening up this particular psalm. I ask you to grant us the ability to taste of the goodness of what it means to be a follower of you. And I pray that you'd give us a hunger and a thirst for your word. May this truth that we see here change us, and I pray that it would motivate us. And Lord, I ask for your help in sharing this particular psalm. Lord, let it take root in our heart and bear fruit. Let it be good to us. And I pray that all of the goodness that you would want us to know in this coming year would come to us as we begin to look at your word and meditate on it. And Father, let this year be a year of awakening for us. Let it be a year where we don't continue on in the same way. Let it be a year where we move closer to you. And I ask you to please remove doubts and take away fears. Remove everything that would hinder us from knowing you. And Lord, I ask that your Spirit would fill every one of us, because we cannot grow by self-willed determination. We cannot move closer to you by this white-knuckled desire that we would work up ourselves. So I pray that you would give us a hunger and a thirst to know you more. Please help us in this year in a way that you never have before. Give us a desire to pray for that and to desire it. May we yearn earnestly and have an abiding thirst for pressing on after you despite every obstacle, in spite of anything that would come up against us. And Lord, we know we have an enemy who would want to keep us from following you. And I pray that you would rebuke him. I pray that you would keep him from being a hindrance to us knowing you more in this new year. And I pray all of this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Trying something new today. I'm going to use a new piece of technology that I have not tried before, so I hope it's helpful and not distracting. So feel free to pray for me. The reason I want you to know Psalm 1. If you open your Bible, it's right almost in the middle, and it's a little bit to the left. Very first psalm, very beginning of the book of Psalms. And I came to it this year for a couple different reasons. There are two, basically. One reason was, as I move into a new year, I like to have a Bible reading plan to help me move through Scripture. I think it's one of the greatest tools on the planet, is to have a plan. Because if I don't have a plan, I'm not sure I'm going. And I don't know if you are that way. But I began looking for a couple of different plans. I want to use something different. I wanted to move into a new way of reading Scripture. I don't like to do the same thing all the time. So I try a different plan every year. And the one place that I have found most helpful, this works on your computer, on your iPhone, iPad, there's a mobile device. If you have Android, there's an app for this. But it's the ESV.org has several different reading plans that you can download. You can have them emailed to you every day. You can put them on a mobile device. If you don't have a phone, you can have it sent to your inbox, and you can follow along. And there's about a dozen of them or so. And I kind of cycled through. I wanted one that would take me through the Old Testament and through the New Testament as well, but also through the book of Psalms. So I want to move through the whole Bible, but I also want to read the Old Testament and New Testament. And the one that I picked is Every Day in the Word. So it's a New Testament reading, it's an Old Testament reading, it's a psalm, and it's a little portion of some other wisdom literature, Proverbs. So as I began this new plan, I started it just a couple of days before the new year. Guess what the first psalm is that I read? It's Psalm 1, of course. That's where you begin. And so It's nice that here's a picture of what, if you look at this on your computer on a website, this is what you'll see. And there's a daily plan that will allow you to click through every portion of Scripture that you can follow, and you can read along at your own pace. Some people get overwhelmed with read through the Bible in a year plan because it's too much. Well, just read a chunk, and you can read at your own pace if you want to. But as I read through Psalm 1, a couple of things were happening. I was reading Scripture, but I was also, it's part of my rhythm, as I enter into a new year, I stop and take a day or two to sort of look back over the past year and see what God has done. That exercise and my Bible reading led me to be moved in my spirit about something in particular. And I want to challenge you to, I hope you're moved in the same way by the time I finish. Because I'm going to ask you to do something crazy at the end of the sermon. But Psalm 1. I'm just going to read it one more time just to get it into your heart and soul. I always have to hear things a couple of times for it to click. But blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and the leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not like the righteous. He's not so. They're like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. There's a comparison going on here. There are two ways of life that are being put before you for consideration. The way the psalmist does this, the literary structure is called a chiasm, where alternating clauses contrast two different ideas, and it drives you to a point. The point is, who are you? Are you one of the righteous, or are you one of the wicked? And you'll see, the way of the blessing is contrasted with the way of perishing. The way that leads to life is contrasted with the way that leads to death. The righteous stand in God's law. The unrighteous or the wicked will not stand in the day of judgment, meaning they won't survive. They won't make it. They'll be swept away. And this righteous person and the wicked person are compared by two different metaphors. One is like a tree that is enduring and fruitful and life-giving. This is the righteous person. The unrighteous person is not that way. He's temporary. His life is fruitless and is filled with wickedness. He does not endure. Psalmist is driving home a point by using sentences to focus your thinking. So that's what's going on in this psalm. And we have to ask the question, where are we in this? And so to pull apart the psalm, I want to start in the middle and kind of work my way out. And so we start with the righteous person. The righteous person is described like a tree planted by streams of water. This righteous person is constantly near the source of life, constantly connected to what gives life, which is water. And what is the result of a tree that is living and filled with nourishment? It does what a tree does. When you're nourished and you're filled, you can do what you need to do. And what does a tree do? It bears fruit. There's fruit that will come when? In its season. Right? Fruit trees don't bear fruit all year round. There are seasons in life. Some of you have, you're in a season of life where you just feel utterly depleted and weary. You need a spiritual rest. It's interesting. Hope has sort of been that for a lot of people. It's been a place to come and spiritually recover. A lot of people have had bad experiences at other churches. Some of you have, I think probably everybody in this room has been wounded by some church or another, right? We've all been, I raise my hand. I've been wounded by people in the church. And yet, we don't stay wounded. We need to recover. A life-giving tree planted by water that continues. There might be a season where you sit and you rest and you recover. But then there's going to be a season where you're bearing fruit. If you're connected, and this is the righteous person, a person who's deeply rooted and connected to God, will bear fruit when the time is right. You will show forth what you ought, what you've been created to do, is this righteous person, because the leaf will not wither. It's constantly near a life-giving stream. So the leaves are not going to wither, not going to fade away, not going to die. And then the last verse, in everything, we know it's a metaphor, right? He's talking about believers, people who trust the Lord. By the way, that's what a righteous person is. A righteous person is not a sinless person. So when you hear that phrase, the righteous, do you think of a sinless person? Is that what comes into your mind? It ought not to. Because if that's the case, then there's only one righteous person who's ever lived. And you know what his name was. Jesus is the only person who never sinned. A righteous person is someone who trusts in the Lord. Psalm 32. Love the Lord, all you his saints. The Lord preserves the faithful. Be strong, let your heart take courage. Wait on the Lord. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but the steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. So be glad in him and rejoice. A righteous person is not a sinless person. It's a person who's confident in the Lord and the righteousness that he gives. It is a person who trusts in God, who has faith in him. That's a righteous person. And so he says he prospers in everything he does. There is a strand of teaching that today would tell you that what this means by saying that you'll prosper is that you'll be healthy, wealthy, and wise. You'll be free of sickness, you'll be free of financial difficulties, and you'll have lots of friends. You'll prosper in everything. That is not what the psalmist would have you know. The same person who wrote this psalm also said, "It was good for me that I was afflicted so that I would learn your statutes." Meaning there is affliction that comes into our lives. There are difficulties that we all encounter. But the difference between a righteous person and an unrighteous person is that we're trusting the Lord through them. We don't abandon our faith in God when difficulty comes. We cling to Him. We keep holding on. We keep believing. That's what a righteous person does. And so this is David speaking here saying, it was good that I was afflicted because then I learned the truth of your word. Meaning, what do you do in times of affliction? You run to God. You run to Him. You cling to His word. That's where nourishment comes to your soul. So prospering in everything, I think, means God takes every circumstance, including the difficult ones and the hard ones, and He uses it for your benefit to point you back to Himself so that you're rooted and grounded in Him and not the circumstances of your life. Circumstances change. And yet, God takes every difficult, hard circumstance that we go through and He's shaping us. So we can prosper through difficulty, even in trials and adversity, because we know that God is working on us. Do you believe that? That's the question. That's what a righteous person believes. He believes that it was even the affliction and the hard times of life, God will shape you and mold you. But the wicked are not like that. They're different. The wicked are not so. They're like chaff that wind drives away. Do you know what chaff is? Chaff is that little outer, light, useless husk on wheat that protects the wheat. But if it's going to be useful for food and giving nourishment to anybody, that has to be broken off. And one of the ways that that has been done through the years is by a pitchfork. That is, a wheat is piled up, and then they get a pitchfork, you flip it up into the air. The friction of the fork going into the air breaks the husk of the wheat, and then it flies away. And the light husk sort of is carried off by the wind. The heavier wheat falls back down. And so you've got this, I don't have to rake up all this mess, let the wind take it away, and then I can scoop up wheat at the end. That's like an idea of what the psalmist is communicating. This is what the wicked are like. They're swept away. They're like chaff. They're not weighty. They're not substantial. They're just carried off by the wind. And this evokes in him an understanding of final judgment. because the wicked will not stand in judgment, is what he tells us. They won't stand in judgment, nor will sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Meaning, at the end of time, when we stand before the Lord, this is the truth, the painful truth of Scripture. There is a judgment. Nobody gets away from not being judged. The only way to escape judgment is to have somebody else carry that judgment for you. That's exactly what Jesus did for us on the cross. And so we can stand through the judgment. The righteous do stand through the judgment, not because they are sinless, but why? Because we're trusting in the Lord. That's what this psalm is pointing us to. This is pointing us to having faith in Jesus. This is the Old Testament way of saying, trust in the Lord. The wicked are carried away. But what about there is some things that the righteous people do. So we'll go back and move away from the contrast between wicked people, move to the righteous. There are some things that the righteous person does. And there's a couple mentioned here. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers. There's a progression here. The walking in the counsel of the wicked means you don't get your advice from ungodly people. This counsel of the wicked means you don't receive and act upon advice from people who don't have the same kind of worldview or understanding of who God is. You don't trust ungodly people to give you advice on how to live. You don't get your worldview from people who do not trust the Jesus that you trust and love Him. Because if you do, if you get that advice, you hear some wisdom, you tend to say, okay, I'm gonna stand here. I'm going to be confirmed in this. I'm going to put my foot down, as I heard this morning in Sunday school. And I'm going to believe this. I'm going to act on it. And then the seating in the seat of a scoffer, that's a more settled position. So you receive counsel, then you walk in it. You live your life according to that counsel. And then finally you're seated. You sit down. I'm going to stay here. This is not what a righteous person does. Doesn't let ungodly people influence the direction of his or her life. There's also something else, and this is the key difference that I want everybody in this room to see. The major difference between the righteous and the unrighteous is what you do with the Word of God. His delight is in the law of God, and in His law He meditates day and night. I think an illustration of a child laughing is good because Jesus says, unless you become like a little child, you're not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Little children trust implicitly. They trust their parents. The distinguishing difference between the wicked and the righteous in this psalm is what you do with the Word of God. And there's two things that happen here. He delights in the law of God and he meditates on it day and night. So, question. Do you delight in the law of God? Do you meditate on it? The psalmist, you know the life of David. Do you know what? You know how he lived. He lived a very difficult life. He was on the run for half of his life. If he was anointed around age 16 to become king, he didn't actually become king until he was 30. Right, that's almost 15 years of wandering, being on the run, being chased by people who were trying to kill him. And during that time, he says, it was good for me that I was afflicted because I could learn the truthfulness of God's word. God's word became a treasure in the life of David. And so he says, the rules of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, the drippings of the honeycomb. For moreover, by them is your servant warned, and in keeping them, there is what? Great reward. There is a promised reward for keeping God's word, for cherishing it, for hiding it in your heart, and for loving it. And the psalmist says, he goes on and says, your words are sweeter than honey to me. How many of us can say that? Your words are sweeter than honey. How did they become that way? It is by delighting in them and meditating on them day and night. It's clinging to them to say, is this true or not? So I read Psalm 1, and then I did something else, which is what I mentioned earlier. I went back in my journal, and I sort of looked back over the past year. So I read Psalm 1. I'm hearing this word, delighting. The difference between righteousness and the wicked is delighting in God's word and meditating on it day and night. I went back over the year, and you know what I discovered? The time periods that were most filled with a sense of blessedness and happiness in my life were the times I was intentionally memorizing Scripture and focused on God's Word. When I was carrying in my mind, trying to memorize, because you remember, I was trying to memorize passages I was preaching from. Every passage, every verse that I was preaching from, I was trying to memorize it that week. And sometimes God would take those passages and it would bless and nourish my soul. And I wrote about it. And what I saw again and again and again is sustained Scripture memorization gave me strength in my soul, encouragement in my heart, and helped me endure through all of the chaos of life. So what I want you to hear is, I looked back over a year of testimony. Goodness and happiness came into my life from memorizing Scripture. What's the first word in Psalm 1? If you still have your Bible open. The first word is, blessed is the man, or blessed is the person who. That word means happy. It's the same word. It could be translated, happy is the person who. Do you want happiness in your life? Anybody in the room, would you want greater joy? Greater sense of goodness? A greater sense of God's favor? Of course you do. I am preaching this sermon this morning to make you happy in 2017. And I know how to do it. Not only because I see it in God's word, because I saw it lived out in my life. As I looked back, that's the first thing I want you to hear. There is happiness to be had if you will treasure God's word, delight in it, and meditate on it day and night. I saw it in my own life. So second thing I want you to consider is, another thing I saw as I look back over the past year, I like to run, and occasionally I'll jump into a 5K. And I keep track of my times, which are not worth even mentioning publicly, but I noticed my fastest times always happened at a race. When I was challenged the most is when I ran the fastest. I looked at Alex's times and Michaela's times. I kept track of them. Their personal record was achieved in a race, not in practice. Meaning, when we're pushed, when we're challenged, we can do more than we think we can do. So, I want to push you this morning. I'm going to be a pushy preacher because I want to push every one of you in this room to do something you wouldn't otherwise do without having someone push you. And I know you can. So, I came up with this crazy idea. And I thought, I'm going to run this by the elders to see if I'm totally wacko or not. And what I did was I sat down and I made up a list of 50, not 52, even though I could have done 52, verses for the year. Because we've already missed 1 week, which was last week. And this week, you're not going to memorize a verse. And next week, I'm going to ask you to do it. I want to know if you'll accept a challenge. Will you join with me in striving to memorize a unit of thought? It's not one verse, sometimes it's two or three, but one unit of thought every week till the end of the year. And the elder said, I don't know, maybe some people won't like the verses you picked. I was like, okay, I'll compromise. Pick your own! Write your own plan. So I did an adult version and a youth version. So the youth version has, you know, a couple, when there's two passages and I could get rid of one, I eliminate it. It's only one verse. But it's going to be out in the lobby when we finish. There's going to be a list of verses that I want you to think about memorizing this year. And we'll do it together. I'm standing in front of a crowd of people saying, I'm going to strive to memorize one unit of thought every week for the next 50 weeks. But we never do anything without there being a reward to it. So I asked the elders, I want us as a church to pay for a nice meal. So if you do this, if you will accept a challenge and you say, I will seriously, earnestly commit to memorizing Scripture over the next year on, I'll have to confirm this date, on December 28th of 2017. It's between Christmas and New Year's. It's a Thursday night. We're going to have a dinner. And it's going to be nice. I'm going to get Gail to do it. I thought about asking her before the service, but I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. I want this to be a dinner where we stand up, and you don't have to quote all 50 verses you memorized, but I'm so convinced happiness and goodness and joy and spiritual endurance and fortitude and sin-fighting goodness will come into your life by doing this. I want to create a venue for us to be able to stand up and have a testimony night after we eat a magnificent meal catered from I'm not sure where, but it'll be good, and Gail will help us figure out where to go. We're going to stand up and we're going to say, this is what God did in my life over this past year. I memorized this verse, and it blessed my socks off. I memorized this verse, and it sustained my marriage. This passage kept me from wilting at work. This passage caused me to see purpose in my work. This verse gave me energy to endure a boss I cannot stand, but whom I'm commanded to love. And I started praying for her or him every day. Something changed. I know that will happen this year. If we commit to treasuring up God's word in our heart, we will be sustained. You will be strengthened. You'll be fortified. You'll fight sin. You'll love holiness. So I'm asking you, will you reach out and grab a hold of a promise from God that He brings goodness and blessing and favor into the lives of His children when we delight in His law and meditate on it day and night? Is this hard? Yes. I'm not calling you to do anything that's easy. Memorizing Scripture is difficult. It can be done. Do you know, I've probably got the whole movie of Monty Python memorized. I could quote to you almost 80% of it without even seeing the first cue. I prayed about, should I even say that or not? How many of you know you've got Princess Bride memorized or whatever your favorite movie is memorized? You can memorize stuff. I went to my class reunion, I got songs from 45 years ago memorized, all the words are there. You can do this. You can memorize. And if we do it together, we've got something to talk about. Now, if you create your own plan, then, you know, you got to create your little community to talk about it with. But be encouraged. You can memorize Scripture. It's one unit of thought each week. We can share it. And yes, it's pushy. I can't do 50 verses. I think you can. And if you see the goodness that will come from them, you will be able to retain it. But in order to be pushed, there's got to be something serious that you do, right? Because if I just say this and then, you know, we go home and, you know, think about it for a week and we're beyond it. Yeah, I got the paper, but I lost attention to it. Well, I'm going to ask you to do something. Next week, I'm going to ask you to sign your name. This week, I'm asking you to pray about this. Are you willing to jump in? Are you up for the challenge? This is going to be out in the lobby as an offering. David Gonzalez said, I'm going to memorize one verse from each book of the Bible. That's what I'm going to do. I don't like your list. I think it's hooey. And so I'm going to make up my own, and I'm going to memorize one verse from every book of the Bible. So join David's club. I don't care whose club you join. I don't care what plan you're on. I want you to memorize Scripture because I know God's goodness will come to you. I have no doubt in my life. I know it. I'm willing to bank on it. And so I'm going to ask you to pray this week and ask, Lord, am I up for this challenge? Am I up for this push? Can I do this? Will I commit myself to this? That's all I'm asking. I'm not going to call people and check up. You know, it's June 1st. How many verses, Christine, do you have memorized? I'm not going to do that. But throughout the year, I think we'll be able to talk to one another about what we're doing. And if you're serious, if you're saying, by God's strength, I will do this, not your own, you won't do this in white-knuckled self-determinism because you want to impress people. You're not going to do this if you think, I want John Radovan to think I'm cool. I'm going to memorize 25 verses. He won't think you're anything. But if you want to say, by the help of God, I'm going to try this. I'm going to do this. I want you to pray about it this week. Come back next Sunday. I'm going to have a little clipboard. And this is a way for you to take serious. This is not a joke. I really want you to move into this direction. And so, are you willing to sign it? And then think, there's going to be a wonderful meal waiting for me at December 28, and we're going to celebrate together. So what I want you to hear is, there is blessing to come from delighting in God's Word and meditating on it day and night. You can, when you drive to work, where's Ian Lane? Ian is Hua, you've got like Romans memorized, right? Ian and Hua have been memorizing Scripture. They'd never memorized Scripture before. And yet now I think Ian's got Ephesians. Hua's got all of Romans memorized. Ian's also working his way through Matthew. This, you can do this. Ian says he reads Scripture as he's driving to work. You get that? He reading while he's driving to work? I'm just kidding. He rides a train or whatever. The point is, have it with you all the time. If you ride the train, get a note card. Write it down for a week. Write it on a note on your phone or whatever. Take it with you. If you read, I've been trying this. I've been experimenting. If you read whatever passage you're trying to memorize one time every day for 7 days, you'll have it by the end of the week. Just once. You can read it in the morning and in the evening, but I've been doing this. Just read the passage one time every day. By the end of the week, you'll have it. And then every week after that, you keep reading the verses you've read and you've got them memorized before. Just read them once. You'll keep them. And you can move on and on and on. And you'll be sharing it. You'll be talking about it. You'll be emailing what you're memorizing because God's going to bless you through it. And you'll realize so-and-so is going through a hard time. He needs this verse or she needs it. It can be done. So are you up for a challenge? I hope you're not mad at a pushy pastor. But I'm firmly convinced there's blessing for you if you'll take up the challenge. I think all of our lives will be changed. If you commit to memorizing and meditating on God's Word, your spiritual life is not going to be the same today as it is at the end of the year. You're going to have some things to say. You're going to see God in ways you've never seen before. You're going to find you have strength to fight sin in ways you couldn't before. And there's going to be goodness that will come to you. Now, I point you to the ESV app because it reads to you. If you don't have time, if driving is an issue, you can just push play on any passage you go to. It'll read to you on both the Android and iPhone apps. So listen, I can memorize anything I hear. And sometimes that's what I do. I listen to the same scripture over and over and over again. Sometimes I read it and I record. My phone has a little audio app. I make an audio recording and I just listen to it again and again. Put it on loop. I go for a run. I'm listening. So there's ways to do this. I can point you to some more research. I mean, some more helps. So I'm finished. I've said everything I want to say today. But are you ready for challenge? Do you believe God's Word is good for you? Do you want to be nourished? Do you want to be strengthened? Do you want that blessing that comes to the righteous? And who are the righteous? They're not sinful, sinless people. They are trusters of God. It's those who say, I believe His promises, and I'm going to base my life on them. So that's a challenge. Let's pray together. Father, we want to know the blessing that You have intended for all of those who would walk in Your way. This psalm says a person is blessed who walks in the way of righteousness and who delights in Your law and meditates on it day and night. Lord, if we focus our minds on the things that are good and righteous and true, then there will be a whole lot less time for us to think about the things that we ought not to think about. If we dwell on whatever is good and right and pure and holy and blameless, there's not going to be much time for us dwelling on things that are unrighteous and unholy and shameful and addictive. Lord, I pray that you would grant freedom to us in 2017. Grant spiritual growth this year. Grant maturity to come to us as we strive to move forward, as we run this race of faith, and we have others running alongside us. We're challenging each other. Lord, I hear your voice saying, will you draw nearer to me? This is not a burdensome invitation, I pray. This is an invitation to be happy in you, to be blessed in you through the means by which you have intended. Jesus said, your word is life. We don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of your mouth. So Lord, I pray that we would live and grow and be strengthened this year by memorizing your word. Through Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen.